the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for today, we're going to speak about paradise in the view of Islam. So I invite you to be with us. Salamu Alaikum. But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 4th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of the month of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. We listen to chapter Hud, verse 23, please.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأخبتوا إلى ربهم أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون.
Indeed, they who have believed and done righteous deeds and humbled themselves to their Lord, those are the companions of paradise. They will abide eternally therein.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Reward and encourage have been mentioned along with warning and threats. Following the verses which explain the fate of those who are involved in giving false accusations, this verse exposes the profile of those involved in righteous deeds. It implies that those who believe and perform righteous acts and behave well, who submit themselves before Allah and are confident of His promises, will be among the companions of paradise, remaining there forever.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This is today's special and paradise in the view of Islam. Paradise or heaven is of different degrees of loftiness and happiness. Unlike hell, which is a very deep pit of fire, paradise is level, or say many levels, so much so that even its rivers do not bore holes on its surface, but flow miraculously in their path without scathing the surface. And there is more than one heaven or garden. Verse 64 of Surah Ar-Rahman, Chapter 55, is comprised of one single word which describes two dark green gardens, while verse 62 of the same surah tells us that there are besides these two gardens, there are two other ones, bringing the total number of gardens comprising the eternal abode of bliss to four. The highest pinnacle of paradise is the Garden of Eden.
Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about heaven and the abiders of heaven, al-Jannah. We want to see what the Jannah or heaven is and what are the features of the abiders, those residents of heavens are. Heaven or al-Jannah, according to a Muslim terminology, is a place in the afterlife where the righteous and prosperous people will reside and enjoy divine blessings. The place where Adam and Eve lived before their fall or hubut to the earth. It is also referred to as al-Jannah. There are over 200 verses of the Holy Quran, as well as many hadith and narrations from the infallibles, the Holy Prophet, and his progeny, with regard to the heaven and its features, such as its vastness, the number of heavens, variety of features of its blessings, things in the heaven, the purpose of the creation, and also the characteristics of the residents, characters, and actions that make one deserve to reside in the heaven. So it's good to listen to these things based on what we have received from divine sources, from Al-Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet and his progeny. And also in these verses and hadith and narrations, we read about people who are deprived of the heaven and the relationship between the residents of the heaven. Although the belief in the heaven is a crucial Islamic doctrine, there are disagreements among Muslim theologians over whether the heaven will be created in the afterlife or it is already created. Moreover, Muslim scholars, both Shias and Sunnis, dispute over whether the heaven and its blessings are corporeal or spiritual. So these are still controversial issues, but we shall inshallah discuss that based on, let's say, authentic hadith. They go more with corporal, let's say, corporal entity.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
The pleasures of paradise is the point of this part. Pure delight without pain and suffering. Can you imagine? While people in this world experience some delight, they also face much toil and suffering. If one was to scrutinize the life which they live, they will find that the amount of hardship they face is much more than the ease and comfort. As for the life of the hereafter, there will be neither hardship nor suffering in it, and people will live therein in pure joy and delight. All the causes of sorrow, pain, and suffering which people experience in this life will be absent in the hereafter. When one thinks of success in this life, they usually conjure the imagine of big houses, fine jewelry and clothing and expensive cars. Financial stability is seen to be the key to a happy life. To most people, success is inseparably related to wealth, even though this is the furthest from the truth. How many times have we seen the wealthiest of people living such miserable lives that it sometimes even leads them to commit suicide?
Oh,
as usual, we have a light part here. Yeah, it starts with the question, how to achieve paradise. If we divide it, the ways of achieving paradise to lessons, lesson one is working patience. Those who were patient in hard times, patient in avoiding what Allah has forbidden, patient in following His commands, and patient with others, will taste the fruit of their patience. Patience takes work, so work patience in this world to hear these words in Jannah. I read the translation of chapter 39, verse 73. And those who kept their duty to their Lord will be led to paradise in groups, till when they reach it, and its gate will be opened, and its keepers will say, Salamun alaykum, you have done well, so enter here to abide therein.
The greatest transaction of the dunya that we will ever conduct is the transaction between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. He says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says that I will buy your soul, and in return, I will sell you al-jannah. Allah wants to sell us al-jannah. Allah also uses marketing techniques in order to make jannah beautiful in our eyes. In the Quran, he markets al-Jannah. He advertises Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. He gives beautiful descriptions of the rivers and the valleys and the gardens of al-Jannah. He tells us about al-Hur al-Ain, al-Wuldan al-Mukhalladun. He tells us about the food of al-Jannah. He tells us about the clothing of al-Jannah and about the ni'am of al-Jannah. And the point is, he wants you to seek al-Jannah. Just like that company wants you to buy their products, Allah wants you to seek al-Jannah. He's marketing the Jannah. However, there is one huge difference between the marketing of Allah and the marketing that we see in the dunya. What is that difference? The difference, my friends, is that we said in the marketing of the dunya, of the corporations, there is always what? Over-promising, under-delivering. With the Jannah of Allah Azza wa Jal, no matter how much you praise al-Jannah, no matter how great you make it appear, no matter how appealing you present it, you can never exaggerate the greatness of al-Jannah. It will always be an understatement. You will have the opposite problem. The problem of under-promising, but then over-delivering. Why is it a problem? Because many people will not be interested in the Jannah, even though it's so great, because it's under-promising. It's an understatement. No matter what you say about al-Jannah, it will never be enough. It will never be like the true Jannah.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Yesterday we observed the passing away anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masuma, peace be upon her, who reposes in eternal peace in the city of Qom, where devotees seek her intercession with God Almighty with these words. O Fatima, intercede for me for the reward of paradise, for certainly you have with God a lofty status.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about what happens when Allah wants good for His servant. Simultaneously, this hadith is also about the knowledge of religion. Because in this hadith, as you'll see, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kind of binds these two together, he connects them. The Prophet said that when Allah wants good for a servant, He makes him proficient in the knowledge of religion. فَقَّهَهُ فِي الدِّينِ is the expression in the hadith. This means that he makes him very knowledgeable in matters of religion. In continuation, the Prophet says, and induces him to abstain from the world. Another sign that Allah wants good for a person, and he wants to, you know, give him good things, he wants to bless him, is that he encourages him to abstain from the world and the worldly affairs. And finally, the Prophet said that Allah gives him insight into his own faults. These are all kind of tied up with one another. When somebody has knowledge of religion, right, he understands the, you know, a part of knowledge of religion is the, you know, paltry nature of the world, right, which leads to zuhud and abstaining from the world. And also, when we have knowledge of religion, we understand what is good and what is wrong, and then we can understand, you know, what our faults are and where our faults lie. And then, you know, following this, we can, you know, abstain from it, of those faults, and you know, in the future, and also repent from, you know, any faults that we might have committed from in the past. And, you know, this leads to our felicity in this world and in the hereafter. So in reality, you know, the good that the Prophet is speaking about is, you know, man's felicity, you know, in the hereafter and in this world, right? And these three things that, you know, he has mentioned are, you know, the causes that lead to that felicity and that good, you know, in this, you know, in the hereafter and in this world. And, you know, the second two matters are a kind of offshoots from the first, but not necessarily, you know, effects of it, because knowledge is not sufficient for abstaining from the world. It also requires, you know, ambition and, you know, willpower, right? But, you know, God Almighty, he gives this to this person who he wants to, you know, lead to, you know, good in this world and the hereafter. And this leads us to his sa'adat and his felicity. In a similar manner, the Holy Prophet also said, when Allah wants good for a servant, he censures him in his dreams. It's very interesting. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at what happens when Allah wants good for a servant from the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to
Let's recite the Qur'an Kareem, a series of Qur'anic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm very glad to tell you that we have again here our brothers from Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and also Fawad Haider Naghawi. So, assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you fine, Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fawad Haider, how about you?
Salam, I'm fine, sir.
Okay,
how are you?
That's great, that's great. Thank you. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Everything fine. All right?
Yes.
You're welcome, thank you. And Ali Nasir, are you great?
Alhamdulillah, good? Well? Sir.
Well, okay, alhamdulillah. Great. He says alhamdulillah always, and that's the best thing. Alhamdulillah. So, I hope you're fine as well, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Again, today, inshallah, we will be having another Quranic session, working on tajweed rules and also having a short explanation about one ayah or two ayat or verses of the Holy Quran. Now, we're going to, inshallah, do the ayat 34 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And it was talking all about the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and the evil, yes? And also how Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam and that story. So, are you ready, inshallah, to go for this ayah?
Yes.
Everyone? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
So, guys, let's inshallah practice this ayah, okay? Then we'll talk about it. I will recite and you listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
أحسن ما شاء الله. The very first important point is this, that when Allah Almighty commanded all the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam, okay? To make sajda, to perform sajda before Adam alayhi salam, because Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam, and that challenge that we talked about, yes? Who won the challenge? Adam alayhi salam, right?
Yes.
So, with the angels, so Adam alayhi salam was the winner. And so they were commanded by Allah Almighty to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam. So, fasajadu, it means when Allah Almighty told all the angels, so all the angels prostrated. But what was Iblis doing inside the angels, among the angels? Was it an angel?
No.
While Allah Almighty says that, he was made or created from fire. So he was among the angels. So there is a hadith says that he had prayed that much that he had deserved to be amongst the angels. Because the angels in the previous ayah we said, وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ لَكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Yeah? We always praise you, we always pray you, okay? They are all always like doing prayers. So Iblis was had prayed a lot, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, I think in Nahjul Balagha says, like over 6,000 years, he prayed Allah Almighty. He was a great slave servant of Allah Almighty. But what happened that he became an Iblis and he's no longer a good servant? And so what happened? When Allah Almighty told him that, let's see, okay, the result of your prayers. Are you obedient to me or no? Do you listen to me or no? If I command you, will you do my command? Will you answer my command or no? So Allah Almighty told all of them. So Iblis was amongst the angels, yes? So, فَسَجَدُوا, all the angels prostrated before Adam alayhi salam. Iblis didn't prostrate. Iblis didn't prostrate. Why? He said that Aba wastakbar, he became proud of himself. He said that, oh God, I can't prostrate to this Adam. You created him from a bad smell kind of soil, okay? And you've created me from fire. No way, I can't do this. Okay? That was the command of Allah Almighty. Like prostration to anything except Allah is haram, it's forbidden. But that was the command of Allah Almighty. And the angels did not prostrate because it was Adam, okay? For Adam. Yeah, they prostrated because of the creation of Allah Almighty. The soul that the Adam had. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, the soul that Adam alayhi salam had. So the story continues that inshallah in the next ayahs, we'll continue reading it. Okay, now, that was a short explanation. Make sure you go to the Fasir book, okay, and study about it. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Okay. Do you see any tajweed rule here? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, of course we see, whenever we see ayat of Qur'an Karim, we see tajweed rules, yes?
Yes.
That's why we have studied it. Yes. So, we have studied the tajweed rules. So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see any tajweed rule here around?
Yeah, in the لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا.
Yeah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasfawad?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So what should we do with that Hamzatul Wasl?
Skip it.
All right. We should skip it. Why? Because we're joining the words, okay? Two words. Lil malaikati, malaikati, and usjudu. We're connecting them together, okay? Here we have to skip the Hamzatul Wasl. Simple as that. But if we do not skip, if we read it, how do you read it? If pronounce it? For example, you say, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. We read it with, we pronounce it with
Dhamma.
Why?
Because of next letter is
The third letter, Hamzatul Wasl,
third letter
seen, and the third letter has a Dhamma on the top. Okay,
yes.
That's the rule for Hamzatul Wasl in verbs. So usjudu is a verb. It means prostrate. Do prostration, okay? Make sajda. So that's a verb, and here we have to put a dhamma on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. So brothers and sisters, as you're listening, this is an important rule for Hamzatul Wasl. So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. مَلَائِكَ is the mad, a wajib mad or a jaiz mad.
It is wajib.
It is wajib. Why, Fawad? What do you think? What was the reason for a wajib mad, wajib muttasil?
Because it's in the word.
For mad wajib, it is the condition or the necessary thing is that it has to be muttasil. Yeah. If a mad is muttasil, it's wajib. If a mad is munfasil, it is jaiz. So wajib muttasil, we say it is wajib because it is muttasil. It is muttasil. And so that's why it's wajib.
So it is in the word.
What is in the word? Word is in the word?
No. Hamza.
The Hamza, the letter Hamza. And before the letter Hamza, we have mad letter. A, E, U, These long vowels are mad letters. So we have a and then hamza. What are in one word?
One word.
Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
So that's why you got to stretch it for six counts. This way, Hassan. Listen to me. Listen to Ali Nasir, how he stretches this sound. Go on, Ali Nasir.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ
كَتِي
right? Yeah. You forgot that side.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا right? This sound, six count. Hassan, did you get it?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So, that's the very, very first important point. لِأَدَمَ Sometimes we forget that alif, okay? لِأَدَمَ لِأَدَمَ no. لِأَدَمَ لِأَدَمَ right? Two counts. لِأَدَمَ okay. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ look, there is a recitation point as well. Look, how do I read this? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ okay? Look, you kind of read in a way that you help our listeners that this sentence is pronounced this way. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا it means all prostrated. Just there is one thing, okay? If you recite this way, they will more understand more, okay? Especially those who are familiar with the verses of the Quran Kareem. Or those who speak Arabic, okay? They will understand it. The best reciter of the Quran was Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself.
Yeah.
So at the middle of the night, okay, during midnights, okay, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting Quran, his enemies, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, his enemies, okay? Enemies of Islam, they were listening to him in the darkness. They were going, okay, next to his house, okay? They were listening. What is he reciting? What is this? Really? Even the angels were kind of amazed, okay? In Surah Al-Jinn, we have, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا wow, what is it? Okay, it was so much surprising. And it is surprising when you listen to a reciter who recites it in the most beautiful way, okay? And you kind of love it. I myself, I really love it. So my recitation is not that good, but when I listen to people, even myself, when I listen, I recite sometimes with myself, okay, alone, I practice, it's amazing. I love it. It's not because of my voice, because of the Quran. The fluency and the rhythm that the Quran has. It's just beautiful. So, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ إِبَ make sure it's قَلْقَلَ, okay, you pronounce it with the bouncing sound. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ as well. حَمْزَةُ الْوَسْلِ is skipped. Then if you do not skip it, how do you pronounce it? Pronounce it with? A?
كَسْرَ.
كَسْرَ. Why? Because the yes. third letter has a fatha. If the third letter has a fatha or kasra, you pronounce it with kasra. If ضَمَّ. Like أُسْجُدُوا. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ So, do you have any question in this ayah?
No.
That's all about this ayah, inshallah. Our brothers and sisters, make sure for the explanation you refer to the Tafsir book, okay, interpretations. And also, make sure you practice the Tajweed rules. Hussein, Fawad, Hassan, Ali Nasir. Any questions? Nothing?
No, sir.
Okay, let's listen to this ayah once again and we'll finish.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
Thank you so much. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Please stay with us. We'll be here again with you. So, thank you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرج
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya Mawlaya, fa kayfa yabqa fil adhab, wa huwa yarju ma salafa min hilmik, am kayfa tu'limuhu an-nar, wa huwa ya'mulu fadlaka.
Listeners, we were discussing this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك. My protector, so how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك. Or how should the fire cause him pain while he expects your bounty and mercy? أَمْ كَيْفَ يُحْرِقُهُ لَهِيبُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَسْمَعُ صَوْتَهُ وَتَرَى مَكَانَهُ Or how should its flames burn him while you hear his voice and see his place? Regarding this part, dear listeners, we said that we have many Quranic verses and traditions implying that the Almighty Allah has mercy upon all the servants, and we have seen that this is the case from the beginning of this very Kumail supplication we've been discussing about. And among those wonders of His mercy is that the divine mercy is granted based upon a few acts seen from the servants. The Almighty Allah, the Holy Essence, grants great blessings for few acts of the servants, and the point is that the key has been given to the servants, to the believers. In fact, it is accessible to the servants on condition that they start the action with the supplication both together. As we explained, action and prayer are two keys among the greatest keys through which the human beings can unlock the doors of Allah's mercy. Now, we are not to discuss at the moment about the action and its relation to Allah's mercy in relation to prayer and treasures of Allah's mercy. Now, the thing we need to know is that the Almighty Allah bestows upon His servants because of both effort and prayer. This means that Allah gives His servants through what is with them and what is not with them. What is with them is their efforts, their actions, and whatever they send forth, their endeavors and everything. But what is not with them is denoted by their indigence and neediness to Allah, and their presentation of poverty and need before Allah. What we have seen and what we exactly are seeing in this part of the Kumail supplication is that the servant, the supplicant, has brought his need and indigence towards Allah. فَكَيْفَ يَبْقَى فِي الْعَذَابُ هُوَ يَرْجُو مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ حِلْمِكَ. This person is in chastisement. He is remaining in the different levels of hellfire he is confined. And he has nothing and no one else to turn to except you. That is why he is only hopeful for your mercy and no one else.
My Lord, then how could he remain in torment when he hopefully relies upon your past forbearance, compassion and mercy? And how can the fire cause him suffering when he hopes for your grace and mercy? And how can its roaring flames char him when you hear his voice and see his plight?
Thank you, Allah,
God, that we hear,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So it is with these two keys of action and prayer that man can attract the mercy of Allah. By raising towards him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his efforts, actions, his self and wealth, and by displaying before him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his need, his indigence, his desperation, destitute and non-existence. This is exactly what applies to this part of the Kumail supplication. أَمْ كَيْفَ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَيْهِ زَفِيرُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ ضَعْفَهُ. How should its groaning encompass him while you know his weakness? This weakness means that it is presented before the Almighty Allah to attract his mercy. Now, in the next episodes, we will try to have a sufficient look at the levels of indigence and needs presented before the Almighty Allah. For now, we will just move on with our discussion of relationship between prayer and action, and the traditions that the Ahlul Bayt and the Infallibles, alayhimus salam, have been asking the servants to accompany action with prayer together. It should not be correct to try to fathom prayer and dua independent of the norms of Allah, however, because He, the Exalted, has laid for His servants some norms in the universe, and with respect to their affairs and needs, it is that it acts. So people should not to neglect these norms in their affairs and wishes. But prayer is not a substitute for these norms. This is one aspect of prayer we need to be aware of. Of course, following these norms do not dispense man of prayer, but we need to comprehend this subtle lordly customs in Islam in order to be more successful in getting close to Almighty Allah's mercy and our salvation with these two important keys. We'll try to explain them in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. On the continuation of this program, Lantern, we have an interesting story, and I invite you to listen to it. The title of today's story is The Magic of Thinking Big. Several years ago, I witnessed an exceptionally impressive sales meeting. The vice president in charge of marketing for this company was tremendously excited. He wanted to drive home a point. He had with him on the platform the leading representative in the organization, a very ordinary-looking fellow who earned the year just a little under $60,000. The earnings of other representatives averaged $12,000. The executive challenged the group. Here is what he said. I want you to take a good look at Harry. Look at him. Now, what's Harry got that the rest of you haven't? Harry earned 5 times the average, but is Harry 5 times smarter? No, not according to our personnel tests. I checked. They show he's about average in that department. And did Harry work 5 times harder than you fellows? No, not a